What a mighty God we serve. Is he worthy? Come on, you can give him something better than a patty cake. Oh, the goodness of God. You have your Bibles, go with us to Matthew chapter 15. I want to just share something with you, and I want to ask that you pray for a young man by the name of Ezra. Keep him in your prayers. He's going through a very difficult time, and his family. I ask that you keep him in prayer. Amen. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, Tyre and Sidon, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. May the Lord continue to bless his word. I want to just share with you when mercy goes to work. You may be seated. Father, help us now to proclaim your word and your truth. I ask that you would speak to our hearts. Thank you for this church, and thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here these many years. And I know that there's work yet to be done. And realizing that it's only through your favor and only through your grace that we can accomplish and do anything. So I want to give you praise and glory for the many times that you brought me through storms that I didn't know I was going to make it through. But you did just that. Thank you for being with this membership. For it's not only the anointing of the pastor, but it's the anointing of the church as well. We're all a part of this ministry that you've called us to do. Bless us now as we give ourselves to you in worship and praise and listening to your word, that it might speak to our hearts and help us, that we might be equipped to do the work that Christ has called us to do. We ask it in your glorious name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those joining us online, we certainly thank you for joining in. We are grateful, as always, for the Lord's blessing. Just as a reminder, the ushers will be meeting, very important meeting right after this service today. They will be meeting in the small sanctuary, and they'll be working on approving their proposed bylaws and dress code. So thank you for that. Amen. What is mercy? Why do we need it? Why is mercy so important in our lives? I believe there are a couple things that we need to address. First of all, the word mercy is covered over 100 times in the Bible. The word mercy. It's used probably as many times as the word faith is used because it's so critical to the life of the believer. In Psalms 118 and Psalms 36, it is used as a chant. His mercy endures forever. God's mercy. God's everlasting favor. There are many definitions that have been given to the word mercy, but it's really a term that was used in the Hebrew of one stooping down to assist another, to show that compassion and to show that mercy or kindness or favor, bending over. One of the topics that we talked about when I was in school is that God condescended. He came down to our level. Anytime you have to get into a religion that you got to get up to God's level, that's idolatry. You cannot get to God's level. It is only God looking down on us, getting to our level, that He ministers to us. Did you not know that the only reason why you're alive today is because of God's mercy? His everlasting favor, His kindness on you and on me. I love the way that King David placed it in Psalms 23. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He knew that he could depend on that. If he could not depend on anything else, he could depend on the mercy of God. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. Yes, mercy is filled in the Bible. And even when they don't use the word mercy, it's God's goodness, God's kindness, His favor, His blessing. You couldn't get blessed of God unless He had mercy on you. We serve a very merciful God. Why do we need God's mercy? There are a couple of things that we want to share in just a few minutes. I believe that the first thing points to that we really don't know exactly what we need. You ever had times in prayer that you couldn't put in words, you couldn't frame it properly as to what exactly you need because you didn't really understand the problem? You didn't know why it happened. You didn't know why it occurred in your life. And so you just said, "Lord, have mercy." That's a powerful prayer. I caught myself the other day praying because I was in a situation that I didn't really know the answer. And I said, "Lord, have mercy." And then the Holy Spirit whispered to me, "Do you know what mercy means? Do you know what it can provide for you? Do you know how that it can give you what you cannot do on your own? You need God's everlasting mercy." Mercy is given to one who is weak, to one who is broken, to one who is feeble. In our verse today, we're introduced to a woman from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They're on the border of Egypt, a border of Israel, rather, on the border, and Jesus just happened to pass by that way. She was a non-Jew. She was a non-Jew, what they might call a Gentile. And along with the word Gentile, they would use the word dog. Because anything that was not of God or not a part of God's family was considered a dog. So the reference that Jesus used in this verse, I'm going to share with you in a minute, really was something that she could have gotten offended at. But this woman made a cry. She made a plea. She had a situation that she didn't understand. A demon had taken over her daughter and was occupying her mind and driving her insane. And so she didn't know how to pray. How many of y'all have been in a place where you just don't know how to pray? She knew that she had a great need, but didn't know how to frame it. So she simply cried, "Lord, have mercy." Say that with me, "Lord, have mercy." What you've said fills volumes. What you have said expresses all that is in you. Now I want to warn you that mercy is not something that you throw around. You don't go to God and demand God's mercy. Notice He is stooping down. He's having favor and compassion on you based on what's in His heart. Everybody still here? You are receiving mercy because of His overwhelming love and pity for you. Many times we say, "Well, Lord, do you care?" God not only cares, He pities you. Well, then why does He allow me to go through these things? There are some things that God didn't cause, so don't blame Him. He's in control of it, but He didn't cause it. Matter of fact, some of the things that you do on your own, we'll get in that in just a second. Some of the things you have been told not to do, and you end up doing them anyway, and then you say, "Lord, have mercy." Well, a little bit late now. You should have pumped the brakes before you got into it. Hello. You cannot demand God's mercy. There are people that say, well, I know the word of God and I'm standing on the word with authority. You can do that, and that's fine. But you're also to approach God with humility. You're to approach him as a creature, because that is exactly what you are. You are created. He is the creator, and you're talking to him with deep respect and deep reverence. After all, you need his blessing. Now, let me just throw this out there just in case you are wondering about what it means to demand. Okay, how many of y'all got a debit card, your little debit card, or got a credit card? How many of y'all got? Raise your hand. All right. All right, so I got a debit card from my credit union, and I don't have to take a lot of money in my pocket, right? I don't have to pull out a checkbook and no. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get the new card where all you got to do is tap it. Young people like this because they don't have time to do a whole lot of stuff. You know, as a matter of fact, they go through. I was looking at it in Sam's Club, Miss Cabler, and they have this thing where it scans everything in your cart before you pull out there. You know, you got everything scanned. You don't have to stand in line. Check this one. No. They got everything scanned. So when all you got to do is tap, and you're done. But here's the thing about the credit or the debit card. You got to make sure that something is in your account before you swipe or tap. I've had a situation where, I'm just saying, you go to tap and they'll say, denied. Must be something wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with your card. Something wrong with your account. Here's where the mercy of God comes in. Life is going to make what we call an involuntary debit on you. Life is going to hit you with some situations that you're going to ask yourself, can I cover this? Then after you've done an evaluation, after you've assessed what you've got in your account, you say to yourself, ain't no way I'm going to make this. Anybody real in here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What it is asking you to come up with, it's impossible for you to cover it on your own. That's where mercy comes in. When you say you couldn't and you say that you didn't have it, God comes in and he credits your account. Good God Almighty. God comes in and he says, you know what? I got you covered. Now, that is for your spiritual life. That ain't for your bank account. And let me qualify that. The Lord does provide for your need and he does cover it. But at that point, if you know you're over, it might be good to call him to say, hey, I need a loan. But I bring that point out is because we're not demanding God's favor. God gives his favor. Our Father is rich in houses and land. God provides all of these things miraculously for his children because he knows what you need. And he knows how to provide that need. So imagine in your mind this woman coming to Jesus. She's going to him and she's saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. At first, Jesus denies her. Going back to that credit card scenario, that debit card scenario, she wants to make a tap. She wants to tap into the energy of God. She wants to get a blessing from God and doesn't know how to get it. So she says, Lord, have mercy. At first, he looks at her and he ignores her. She goes to the disciples and the same thing. And matter of fact, they go back to Jesus and say, Lord, this woman is bothering us. Oh, isn't that a picture of the church? Folks come to us with a need, and you bothering me. That's what we're here for. We're here to minister. Everybody with me so far? So then Jesus turns to the woman and he says, it's not proper for me to take the children's bread, meaning Israel, and give it to the dogs, meaning Gentiles. Jesus said, that's not what I should be doing. I was sent to the house of Israel. I was sent to give them the bread, but now you're asking me to take their bread and give you, a non-Jew. By the way, something about the word Jesus used in describing dog. You can say dog, and in the country, a dog was a dog. I always tease my wife because they had a dog that walked sideways. Matter of fact, his nickname was Stray Dog. She don't like me joking that. But it's the truth. Or you could use the word that Jesus used, little puppy. Jesus used a kinder word. Even when you're messed up, Jesus comes to you and you know you're wrong. He knows you're wrong, but you're asking for mercy. So in his kindness, God speaks to you. Anybody been there? And so you ask God for mercy, and the Lord looks down on you with, notice it is looking down with compassion on someone who is inferior. That's what God does when he has mercy on you and me. What an amazing and incredible God that we serve. This woman found out, and she knew by faith that mercy was available. Say this with me, mercy is a gift. I'm taking my time because I want you to understand this. Some of you are taking notes. I want you to really understand this. This is something that is very, very powerful and significant for your life. When Jesus used the term children's bread, he gave himself away. He literally said, it's here, but it's not right for you to get it. She said, that's all I need to know. I'm going to find a way to get this bread because I am going to keep asking and pleading. Notice she wouldn't give up. Some of us, when we pray, we give up. Some of us, when we're asking God, we say, well, I'm just going to pray a little while. Pray, as the old folks say, until you get a breakthrough. Pray until you know that your prayer has been heard. It's not about, am I good enough? It's about, are you really going to spend the time to call on God and ask him to bless in your life? Mercy is available. Say that with me. Mercy is available. Psalm 136 repeats it over and over again. It talks about how God was with Israel and bringing them out of bondage. Then it says his mercy endures forever. Then they walk through the wilderness, and it says his mercy endures forever. He fed them with the bread of heaven. His mercy endures forever. Every time you say mercy, you're reminding yourself and reminding the Lord that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would not have made it. Take a moment and evaluate your life today. Take a moment and look back over the years and the thing that you've been through, the storms that you had to face. And sometimes you would cry late in the midnight hour and wonder, how in the world am I going to make it? It's because of God's mercy and his goodness. She said, now I know, Jesus, it's available because that's what you told me. You said that the bread is theirs, and that's what you told me, and I'm going to depend on you to give me this bread. And Jesus even used an inviting term by saying, little puppy. And that woman had enough sense, had enough knowledge in her mind to know that the little puppies come to the table when the children eat. I'm going country on y'all now. I know some of y'all got these little lap dogs. We had little dogs that after we ate, they ate. Amen. Any country folk in here? Or all y'all city fight? Okay. What do you mean, Pastor, after you ate, they ate? Anything that we didn't eat, we put in what we call the scraps. We had a recycle program, amen? Stuff didn't get wasted. Yeah, no Purina dog chow, dog food, and what do you call this other field dog or whatever you call it? Hey, what was that? Our dog would have looked at it like, what is that? God's mercy is available to every one of us. God's mercy is so abundant. And I want you to notice something, that when you pray, never pray as if God is lacking because you're lacking, because he's not. God has an abundant supply. And I remember one time going to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, I need this, and I don't know that you got it. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. Brother Edwards, Holy Spirit stopped me and said, wait a minute. If I don't have it, I can make it, but I always have it. Some of y'all missed it. It'll come back around. Three things I want to give you to indicate how mercy is at work in your life. Recapture what we've talked about so far. The woman's daughter is demon-possessed. Obviously, she's a single parent. Obviously, she's struggling, trying to make it. She dwells in a region outside of Israel, which meant she was not a regular temple worshiper. She heard about Jesus. She heard what he could do. So she found him. She asked for help. Now, what does this mean? You need mercy at work a couple of times in your life. One of the times that you're going to need him is when life demands things of you. How are you going to meet life's demand? I don't know whether anybody else watches the news or you avoid it, but from the signs of the news, things are not going to get better. Do I have any witnesses? You read about the gloom and doom. You read about the wars and rumors of wars. You read about the stock crashes and all of these things, the financial crisis that the nation is in. And you read about the things that we're facing, and you say, what in the world? I'm going to tell you something. If nothing else will take care of our need, mercy will. If everything else fails, mercy is at work. Within that woman's heart, even before she got to Jesus, I believe that God was already speaking to her and say, look, if you need a miracle, if you need a blessing, then why don't you come to where Jesus is? We say, well, we're going to draw people to church. You can't draw anybody except God starts speaking to them. He will lay it on their heart. He will burden their heart. I need to go back to church. I'm depending on that because I got some lost loved ones. I've tried to tell them, and they're not listening to me, but I know somebody that can talk to them. I know somebody can relay the message better than I can, and there is where God meets that person at their point of need. Faith is starting to be formed, is starting to form in their life because they recognize I'm at a place now where nothing else can meet my need except God Almighty. By the way, in the street terms, you call that the turnaround. Sinner gets so far down the road in life that he's got to turn around. I'm one of them. Anybody else in here willing to admit I got to the turnaround? I got to the place where God picked me up and turned me around, brought me back into the fold. In order to meet life's demands, you'll need God's mercy. But the second thing you'll need is to cover your disobedience. We don't like to often say that, but many times we're disobedient to God. God tells us to do something, we don't do it. Or God tells us to not do something, guess what? We do it. You ever seen a two-year-old, and when you tell them something, and sometimes they will tuck their head, but then a lot of times they'll look at you and grin like, soon as you turn your back, I'm on. We're like two-year-olds. We get to the place where something is appealing to us, and God says, no, no, no. And we look at God like, okay, I know what you said, but I'm going to do it. Admit it if you know it. Here was a sad chapter in King David's life. For whatever reason, he sinned against God by committing adultery with Bathsheba. And to cover that up, which that's what folks like to do after they do wrong, they say, okay, I'm going to get this to the place where nobody will know I did it. You can't fool God. David tried to cover it up by having Uriah, her husband, murdered. Did it by the hands of the Ammonites in battle. So it was a legitimate battle casualty. Or it seemed so. Anyway, the prophet Nathan confronted him. Said to him, you're the man. You did this. Long story short, the question that we want to ask, did God forgive David? Did God pardon his sin? And the answer is a resounding yes. He wrote in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, he says, blessed is he whose transgression, look at that, transgression. Now, what does that word mean? That word means to you are on this path, but now you trans is to go over to another way. So you're going over to another way, and that's what you're going on, rather than the path that you should be on. He said, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. And whose sin, remember he tried to cover it up? Remember that? I'm going to cover it up. Whose sin is covered. How was it covered, preacher? It was covered by a sacrifice that God made, that God provided for David. Blessed is the man unto whom, watch this, the Lord does not impute iniquity. Isn't that something? God's not going to bring it up again. Now folks going to bring it up again. Yeah. They ain't going to forget. You messed up. That means you're jacked up for life. They're going to bring it up. They're going to put it in your face every time that they can't. Don't worry about them. Don't worry. And the reason why you shouldn't worry about them, they don't have a court to judge you. All right? They can render their opinion, but they cannot render judgment because that belongs to God. Hallelujah, somebody. Every one of you in this room, you have been forgiven. The messed up stuff that you did that you thought somebody was going to keep against you, God has said, if you've asked Christ to forgive you, you are completely pardoned. Clap your hands, all you people. So we need God's mercy to meet life's demands. We need God's mercy to cover our disobedience. But then we need God's mercy to keep us from danger. That's when life gets critical. This woman was at a critical point in her life. Can you imagine having to wake up to that night and day, being her daughter being tormented, which meant the whole family was now tormented. The whole family is now struggling through this. They tried everything they could and nothing worked except when she came to Jesus. And then Jesus said, well, I just can't take the children's bread and give it to little puppies. She's got a choice. And you got a choice to make in this service right now. You can come to God and ask him to have mercy and then say, Lord, I'm going to stand on what you said. Or you can go back home believing, well, I didn't get it. I just, you know what? It's not for me. Everybody else get blessed except me. Quit your pity party. Because ain't nobody dancing but you. Hold your head up. Answer the Lord because he's talking to you. Jesus said, I've got it. It's available. You can have it. And the woman said, Lord, here's what I want you to do. If the crumb falls from the table, now I'm just adding my little notes on it. You're not going to get mad at me. Let me tell you something. A crumb of blessing will meet every need in your life. A crumb. You don't need the Lord to just debit your account with billions of dollars. You just need $100 to cover what you bought. Come on, somebody. Call upon him because the Lord will have mercy upon you. Notice the woman says, Lord, what you said is true. But that little puppy, when the crumbs fall from the table, they come in and they gobble up what's ever given. She said, and Lord, I may be a nobody to other folk, but I know in your sight I'm somebody, and Lord, I can receive your blessing. Notice how the verse closes. It says, from that very hour, she went home and her daughter was made whole. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that the mercy of God has been given to every one of us. You say, when was God's mercy was given? Mercy came down and walked this earth for 33 years. Mercy fed the multitude. Mercy spoke on the mountain. And when it came to the point where something had to be done for our sin and our transgression, mercy got up on the cross. They stretched mercy wide. Mercy looked up into heaven and said, Father, it is finished. That was God's mercy. But mercy didn't die. Mercy didn't go to the grave. Mercy went down into the grave, but after the grave came the resurrection. Now you and I can have brand new mercy from God because mercy rose. Mercy lives today. And because you got mercy, you don't have to ask God for a crumb. You can say, Lord, send it on down in my life. Bless me. Any way you bless me, Lord, is all right with me. That is mercy. Somebody shout mercy. Mercy. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. That's where mercy came down and said, you're blessed. And if you're blessed, nobody can take that blessing from you. Come on, put your hands together. Brother Carey, get ready to get on the piano. Amen. Come on, Brother Carey. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy, whoa, the world didn't give it to me. This joy. The world didn't give it. I know the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Anybody can join with me, say, this love I have, the world didn't give it to me. This love, the world didn't give it. This love I have, the world didn't give it. And if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Anybody got peace today? Whoa, I said, this peace I have in my heart, the world didn't give it to me. This peace I have, the world didn't give it. This peace I have, I know the world didn't give it. Oh, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it. This joy I have, oh yeah, this joy, oh yeah. This joy I have, the world didn't give it. This joy I have, I know the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it. World can't take it away. While you're standing, we want to give an invitation. There might be someone who has never received the mercy of God. We want you to not go home today, as Carl Malden used to say with American Express, don't leave home without it. My word for today, don't go home without God's mercy. If there's one, if you're joining us online, reach out and ask God to have mercy on you. Then drop us a line, pastor@crossroadbc.com. We'll be happy to communicate with you more about the mercy of God. I was on the website the other day, and I noticed that every one of the sermon texts that I have for the last several years, Eddie has posted that to the website. So if you want to go back and grab some manuscripts and read You can do that. I thank God for Ms. Knight because she'll edit my manuscripts and help me to get it right. So I thank God for her. Amen. But if you want to read and have some more information, even after we post these sermons, they're on the website. Please go to it. I thank God for Eddie and Charlene Preston, how that they do a great job of making sure. You online, you can have some resources on our website. God bless you. If there's one today, we invite you to come. If there's one. Everybody got mercy? I close with this. You see that commercial where somebody is eating peanut butter and a sandwich, and then all of a sudden he looks around, he can't find any milk, and the question asks, got milk? Well, you're in life, right, and you're starving or you're thirsty. Question is, got mercy? God bless you. May heaven smile on you. Amen.